Last time on Dreams of Another Woman's Star.
You need to patch me through to Fleet Command.
Not possible.
This is not a negotiation tactic. I need to speak to someone to see what the next step is now that the drones are gone. If I don't, things are going to get a lot worse than you can possibly imagine.
Well, the next step was evacuation.
What?
They left. They attached the fleet to the transport vessels, and they retreated.
They did what?
So, there aren't currently any regulations in the use of dark energy. But the thing is, the new owners are convinced there will only be no regulations until word gets out. So, they might just never let word get out. I may have made a discovery which could earn me a Nobel Prize. Except it won't. Because if EGAC gets their way, no one will ever know about this.
So, beer?
I want to say yes.
So, say yes.
Ooh, but that's just it. This doesn't seem like the kind of situation where I want alcohol affecting my judgment.
So, say no. I'm having a beer. Nick?
That depends. Harry, would you rather have me sober or honest?
I can't have both.
Depends on how honest you want me to be. I'm not going to lie to you either way, but my filters tend to break down with a few beers. If you want the kind of gut reaction honesty, then...
He wants two beers.
You got it.
Amy?
Not on these meds. I can't even drink caffeinated soda. Is there a seltzer left?
Just the mango.
I can deal with that.
Well, here's your second beer when you're ready, Nick. And now get out of the kitchen and let me make the potatoes.
Is that a new table?
New chairs. Anthony and I spend a lot of time working at the table, and the old ones weren't very comfortable.
What do you think, Nick?
Never been here before, but if you teleported me in here from out of nowhere, I'd know this was your house, Dr. Astrid.
Because?
Because form is not just following function, it's completely subservient to it. Practicality is the one thing on display, except for in the kitchen, which is clearly more Anthony's space than you.
Okay, cool. And I don't think you need that second beer after all. So, Dr. Astrid, as though I didn't know, whatever have you asked us both to dinner to discuss?
First, I think both of you should feel free to start calling me Amy. I know I try to keep things formal at the office, but this seems maybe overdue.
I might try, but it's going to feel weird.
Agreed.
Okay. Probably fair. So, while we're away from work, what do people think about the NDA?
You know how in comic strips the cursing is just a bunch of punctuation?
Grolix, yes?
It has a name? Cool. Anyway, I think you can safely assume that there's a cloud of Grolix hanging above my head. At all times. Forever.
Nick?
I don't like it for you guys, but I don't like floods and tornadoes either. That doesn't mean floods and tornadoes don't exist, nor that I can do anything about them.
And what do you think?
I'm furious. And I'm not ready to accept it.
If you can say furious that calmly, I'm not sure it's...
It's the right word.
Fair enough.
I was part of a team that made one of the biggest discoveries in history. And I want the recognition for that. I worked my tail off for this. And I'm not fading into obscurity to protect someone else's bottom line.
Okay, devil's advocate. Is it all about the credit? Looking at it from EGAC's point of view, they offered you both a metric buttload of incentives. Your salaries went from five figures to six, and they're going to put you in charge of a whole new division of the company.
Whereas the winners of a Nobel Prize get about $10 million depending on the exchange rate, and you can more or less write your own ticket to anywhere you want to go from there.
Which moves us from the carrot to the stick.
Exactly. Even assuming you won the Nobel, which I grant you seems like a slam dunk, but I remind you, is not a definite. You two aren't keeping that $10 million. EGAC can and will sue you. Working in finance, I have a rough idea of how good their lawyers are, given how much money they make for the company. Even if you hire the best lawyers you can, you probably won't win. If you do win, almost everything will be eaten away by a combination of taxes and legal fees. Also, that statement about how winners can write their own ticket? If you're found to be in violation of an NDA, I don't think you'll find that's true anymore.
Also, if the findings are mired in legal disputes, the Nobel Committee probably won't go near it.
She's right about that.
Wait, whose side are you on here?
Harry, there are no sides here. It's just what the reality of the situation is. We can either accept a comfortable life where we're doing better than most, or we can risk everything and try to win against a stacked deck, which we likely won't do.
Less than 2 minutes ago, you were saying you weren't ready to accept this. That sounds like accepting.
It isn't. Not exactly.
Then what?
You want to do something stupid.
Yes.
That doesn't sound like you.
That's fair. But every set of data has its outliers. This is mine. We're talking about more than my career. This is a legacy. This is the kind of thing that makes you the winning answer on a game show. I want to take EGAC on. I probably won't win, but it's what I want. The problem is, it's not my call.
Huh?
She's saying she's not the only one with something to lose, Harry. If she tries fighting this, there's no way the proverbial bull feces don't run downhill on you.
Proverbial bull?
Harry! Stay with me. I know what I want to do, but I'm probably going down if I do it. The question is, do I have a right to bring you down with me?
Oh. Yeah, cool. Go ahead.
Just like that?
Look, you're the lead on this project. Everybody knows that. But I have not been a mere sidekick. Would you agree that you'd never have gotten this far without me?
100%.
Then don't be surprised that I'm just as proud of what we've accomplished as you are. I want to win some schlub $1 million on a game show, too. So, what's step one?
That's TBD. I didn't want to start making plans before I got your go-ahead. I kind of forced myself not to, in case you weren't up for this.
You open to suggestions?
Please.
Start with the easy mode. The best option you have is that there's an obvious loophole in your contract. Take it to a lawyer.
I thought you said that EGAC's lawyers were the best.
They are, but you signed the NDA back when you were working for the old company, which was bought out. Those lawyers were less than the best.
You think there's a way out?
Honestly, no. But there might be, and you two should at least find out for sure.
I don't know how big the explosion is going to be. I just know it's coming, and soon.
How soon?
Before you blow up our drones, I'd have guessed a few weeks. Now? I don't know. Days? Hours? Less?
How much damage to the planet Gravel?
If they're lucky, complete obliteration. If not, the whole planet could be thrown halfway across the galaxy. Everyone will die when the atmosphere is stripped away, and if that doesn't happen, they'll die because they're nowhere near a sun, or because they're too near the wrong kind of sun. Ultimately, though, everyone dies. That's what we came here to fix.
That's not what they say.
The Gravellans are like a cat in a burning building. Sometimes, if you want to save it, you have to grab it and not care if you're being rough about things.
But since these are intelligent beings we're talking about, maybe you should have done less grabbing. And more explaining.
We tried. We told them they were in danger, and they didn't believe us.
Could that be because you showed them zero evidence and said things like, "Don't worry about how, but trust us, there's going to be a big boom."
We are not under any obligation to hand out information which could lose us a strategic advantage.
So you came to their planet and instituted martial law. But it was for benevolent reasons.
To save them from a threat we have not been able to see any sign of.
I didn't ask for your approval. You don't build a warship with this many guns unless you intend to fire each and every one of them. And I am not going to sit here and be judged by people with that much blood on their hands. Because of your asinine interference, an entire planet is going to die. And you have the nerve to judge me?
I'm not expecting us to ever see eye to eye, Gerda. But don't try to pretend you're the victim here. even if we had any reason to believe you're telling the truth about whatever disaster you think is about to happen.
Which we have exactly zero evidence of.
Even then, even if your intentions were originally pure, here are the facts. You decided at some point that keeping your secrets was more important than saving lives. You made the call to tell us to butt out instead of explaining there was a danger. If there is something you know about, which we don't, and again, I have no reason to believe that fairy tale, then the whole reason 3 billion Gravellans are going to die is entirely because you decided not to share that information.
Oh, that's a very convenient way.
Not debating, Gerda. If there's actually a danger, tell us what it is so we can help. Or if that's not something you're willing to do, then just sit quietly and think about the genocide you're committing. You may call us if you change your mind and want to actually save lives.
This is not on me. You're the ones who...
We're the ones who are leaving.
Captain, I would like your permission to no longer be involved in interrogating that woman. Or if you can't let me do that, can I at least punch her right in that obnoxious face?
Take a breath, Hitomi. I thought after she realized the consortium had evacuated, she was ready to crack. Clearly, I was wrong.
Captain, if there's nothing else, I'd like to go and prepare for the next meeting with the Gravellan leadership.
Any word on when some of the relief ships are arriving?
Absolutely no one expected the consortium to turn tail so quickly. It will take a few days to supply any ships with the necessary materials and experts to help with the relief efforts. We'll have to make do with what we have here for the time being.
Can you make it very clear to the people who need to know that this is a warship? We are meant to blow things up, not to put them back together.
Believe me, I've been saying almost those exact words.
Hitomi, walk with me.
Why is it when you say we can't do disaster aid, it sounds reasonable, but when he says it, it sounds condescending?
Can you name 5 things he says that don't sound condescending?
Point.
I'm going to tell you something you don't want to hear.
I'm not allowed to punch Commandant Lee in her stupid face?
I'm going to tell you 2 things you don't want to hear. I don't think she's lying.
What?
The EGAC Consortium was here for a reason. Those drones were not designed for military use. If they had been, they wouldn't have blown up so easily. They were here doing something. Commandant Lee says it was a mission to stop whatever explosion she's worried about. And I think she believes it's really about to happen.
Okay, but for an explosion to happen, there has to be something to explode. There's nothing out there, Captain.
Nothing we can see.
Okay, that's true, but we have a lot of eyes on things. Sensors are picking up practically everything on the electromagnetic spectrum, and that's just to start with.
What about the atmospheric disturbances on Gravel?
It looks like shrapnel hitting the atmosphere and burning out. And let's remember, we did blow a lot of things up. I don't think we have any reason to believe it's anything other than that.
I'm going to need to ask you to stop thinking like a scientist and start thinking like a soldier. I know the burden of proof should be on Commandant Lee to prove there really is an explosion imminent, but for the safety of Gravel and this ship, we have to be sure there's not one coming.
Are you all right?
Did I fall asleep?
You did, yes. And since I don't have another appointment this afternoon, I thought this might be a helpful opportunity. I'm not going to bill you for the extra time, since we didn't agree to that beforehand. But observing you during one of these episodes was instructive.
What did you learn?
You look like a person having a dream. In case you were wondering, I don't know what I expected, but I don't see anything outwardly to make me think you were experiencing anything but a dream.
My husband probably could have told you that.
And yet you were surprised when I said it. It's a disconnect between how your mind knows it's a dream, but at the same time, part of you still believes it isn't.
Ampersand asterisk exclamation point.
What?
Trying not to swear. Don't worry about it.
I think we should adjust your medications. They don't seem to be working to prevent the dreams, but more to the point, you fell asleep almost mid-sentence in the middle of the afternoon. Has that been happening?
I try to take a nap at lunchtime. I don't always sleep, but the stillness helps. When I miss it like today, yeah, I can go borderline narcoleptic.
And why did you miss your nap today?
I'm having an issue at work. I'm trying to break out of a non-disclosure agreement, so we had a meeting with the lawyer today. I can't really talk about it.
I doubt I'd understand it if you could. I've read some of your papers, Dr. Astrid, and I won't pretend to understand them at all. But to be clear, the company with the name which has been appearing in your dreams, you're having a dispute with them?
Yes. Something wrong?
Possibly not. I'm just concerned that whatever the nature of your dispute, is it really a cause for argumentation? Or are you possibly being swayed by what you're seeing in your dreams?
You think I'm vilifying them because EGAC has the same name as the EGAC Consortium?
Do you think that?
No. I mean, maybe I'm a little biased against them, but the dispute is definitely more than just that. They went way beyond the pale.
Okay. I'm glad to hear you're not letting these dreams work against your real best interests. But I do have a follow-up. Has EGAC in your dreams become more of a villain as you've been dealing with this problem?
At simple asterisk percentage sign dollar sign.
The sky fire continues. It is at least as bad as when the EGACs were here. Please, when will it end?
High Councilman, we are working on that for you. You have my assurance. The Alliance will do everything we can to assist. Unfortunately, sometimes to fix a problem, you need to first make it worse.
We are not like you or the humans on the ship, Ambassador. The skies are our home on Gravel. Our wings grow weak and atrophied as we stay within for fear of the sky fire. This cannot grow worse.
We understand your plight. And I truly am sorry we can't alleviate the situation immediately. The truth is, we don't know what is causing your experience, and in order to find out, we need to test some theories. We truly wish we had an alternative, but as we do not, please get your people to safety for the next several hours. We'll do everything we can to keep this to a minimum.
How can you keep things to a minimum when you don't know what it is which is causing this?
I wish I had a better answer for you, High Councilman. I don't pretend to understand all the science here, but I can promise you we have the best minds available working on the problem. Please give us a few hours to see if we can diagnose the issue.
We thank you for driving away the EGACs. You have our gratitude. But know that if this continues, I cannot guarantee my people shall maintain such kind regard.
We understand. The Alliance needs time to determine what the trouble is. Ask for just a few hours of patience before we decide how to proceed. Thank you. Hitomi, can you...
No. I am busy. I am calibrating machinery, and it's a little important that I keep my focus on this.
How can we help, Ambassador?
I was hoping for an explanation of what we're doing. I barely understand it, and it would be helpful if I could explain it to the Grovellans.
Karana? You're probably a better choice for this than me.
I can give you some information. What they are calling skyfire is material burning up in their atmosphere.
So yes, skyfire.
Our difficulty is that we cannot determine where the material is coming from. We thought at first it was simply shrapnel from the probes we destroyed.
It isn't.
Definitely not. Now that we're closer to the planet, we've been able to start tracking the debris. It's not the problem.
Too big. And at the same time, there's not enough of it.
What?
The individual pieces of debris are too large to create the type of disturbances we're seeing, and at the same time, the mass of what's hitting the planet is too large to be accounted for in the wreckage. Even if we had blown the probes into particulates, which we did not, there would not be enough matter to cause what's happening on Gravel.
So we know what isn't causing the problem, which is a first step at best.
As you say.
So what are we doing about it?
Testing my jury-rigging abilities, apparently.
I thought you needed to focus.
And yet you continued to have a conversation 5 feet away from me. Besides, I'm done now. Computer, release the drone and activate programmed pathway.
Complying.
That was fast.
I happen to be good at this sort of thing.
That thing being?
We're not able to determine where the particulates hitting the atmosphere are coming from.
Gravel captured a small comet as a moon who knows how long ago, and its tail has been shedding debris ever since. There's particulates all over the place in this sector of the solar system. But whatever is hitting Gravel is hitting it at high speed. Material that small couldn't make that much of a light show without that speed. The problem is, we're a warship, not a science vessel. Our sensors aren't set up to track dust-sized particles approaching the planet.
So what did you do?
I calibrated our sensors to look for a very specific wavelength of light. And then I asked the computer to make me a few trillion pieces of frozen water vapor covered in a coating that reflects that wavelength.
I didn't know that was something this ship could do.
I suspect it couldn't until Hitomi taught it to.
Sometimes in combat, it helps to release a chaff to confuse the enemy's sensors. This is sort of like that, just used for the opposite purpose.
In any case, we just launched a drone designed to release the reverse chaff at specific intervals. We can then follow the particulates and hopefully see where the flow of material hitting the planet is.
But since we're dropping all this extra material into the mix, there could be a spike in the light show the planet is seeing.
How much danger are we putting them in?
Probably not much. The dust meteors are burning up fairly high in the atmosphere, but it is having an effect on their weather patterns long term.
And scaring the heck out of the sentient flying species which inhabits the location.
Alert. Drone offline.
What?
Did you see that spike of activity on the planet? Something much bigger than dust just hit it.
Hitomi, what's happening?
I have no idea. The probe is just gone.
Captain, there is an incoming message being forwarded from the brig. Commandant Lee has asked to speak with you.
Not exactly great timing.
This is the woman whose ship you destroyed in under 5 minutes.
Honestly, Captain, you may as well talk to Stupid Face. I'm going to need some time to make any sense of what I'm seeing.
All right. Fine. Computer, patch Commandant Lee through.
Patching in Commandant Stupid Face.
I love that program.
Focus on your work, Chief Engineer. Commandant, whatever it is you wanted to talk about, I advise you to be concise.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is this a bad time?
It is. And one more moment of snark, and this conversation ends. I'll also inform security that you are no longer allowed to reach out to me, and that you can rot for all I care. Now, last time I say it, be concise.
There's a tangle of dark energy out there, and it's probably going to kill us all. Concise enough for you?
You have been listening to Dreams of Another Woman's Star, Episode 5, Grawlix. Produced by Seat of Our Pants Players, written and directed by Dan Wenzel. Captain Astrid and Dr. Amy Astrid were Andy Gastenge. Anthony Astrid was Adam Gastenge. Dr. Harry London was Aaron Manka-White. Nick was Rick Tennant. Commandant Lee was Brianna Kubi. Ambassador Gulnix was Andrew Dell. Hitomi was Rebecca Scheimer. Pamela the Psychiatrist and the Computer were Liz Music. The Gravellan Councilman was Ray Greenlee. And Karana was Jill Wenzel. Some music and sound effects by www.freesfx.co.uk. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll talk to you later. And a special thank you to each and every one of our Patreon supporters who make this show even more awesome. Check us out on patreon.com/seatofourpantsplayers.
All one word.